Good morning. Guten Tag, Berlin. Welcome to the WGTD Radio Theater's 18th season and show number 129. Today we pay tribute to a gentleman who never lived and who will never die. Sherlock Holmes, from the pen of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Our show today is being broadcast from the Salem United Methodist Church. As always, support for the WGTD Radio Theater comes from the Kenosha law firm of Aliyah, Dumay, and McTernan, the Brown Alstrup Performing Arts Foundation, and Salem United Methodist Church. And now, Sherlock and Watson. Is it Elementary or Moriarty? Written by Steve Brown and Michael Alstrup, and starring members of the award-winning 91.1 Players. Our director today is Brett Hodek.
Hello, my name is John Amish Watson. I am a medical doctor. It was in the year 1880 that Sherlock Holmes and I were introduced by a mutual acquaintance. At the time, we were both looking for a lodging that would suit our moderate means. This we found on the second floor of a house at 221B Baker Street. Mrs. Hudson was the owner and landlady. By the way, Mrs. Hudson is away visiting her brother in Milton Keynes. Well, anyway, it was during the years that we occupied and worked on cases in these chambers together that Holmes established his unique international reputation as a consulting detective. Since my marriage 3 years ago, Holmes has continued to occupy the Baker Street lodgings by himself. And here, almost every afternoon, when my work in the office is finished, I'm in the habit of calling on him. The sitting room as you go in is exactly as it has been for the past 13 years. The worn bearskin rug, the huge sofa covered with faded printed and glazed cotton fabric, the mantelpiece cluttered with miscellaneous objects, unanswered letters and piles of loose tobacco. On one side of the fireplace, in a deep armchair, his pipe curling forth slow wreaths of acrid tobacco, draped in his hideous purple dressing gown, sits Sherlock Holmes with his violin under his chin. And his pipe is next to him in his favorite ashtray, which someone in Brixton gave him many, many years ago.
Come in. Ah, Watson, my dear fellow.
How are you, Holmes?
I'm delighted to see you, perfectly delighted, upon my word I am, but I am sorry to observe that your wife has left you.
She has gone on a little visit. But how did you know?
Elementary, my dear fellow, elementary, if I'm allowed to say such a wonderful word phrase. The child's play of deduction. I'm only doing it for your amusement before we pass on to more serious matters.
Oh? What is it now, Holmes?
Watson, my dear fellow, it is time to chronicle the case on which I'm about to embark. The strange case of Professor Robert Moriarty.
Ah, yes, Moriarty. Quite diabolical.
Watson, the day before yesterday, I received in this room the visit of a certain foreign nobleman who has recently inherited a very considerable title and who is about to be married. It seems that this titled gentleman was so indiscreet as to fall in love with a young English lady by the name of Faulkner, socially his inferior, and to make her a promise of marriage. Well, anyway, last night on my inspection, a certain element revealed itself which renders the case far more important than I had expected.
And that element was?
Professor Moriarty. Come in.
Well, Holmes, I shall go back to my reading. Let's see here. This Jules Verne novel looks quite fascinating.
Beg pardon, Mr. Holmes?
Yes, Billy, what is it?
A gentleman to see you by the name of Lestrade.
Ah, show him in, Billy, show him in.
Yes, Mr. Holmes. Come in, Mr. Lestrade.
Good evening, Lestrade.
Good evening, Mr. Holmes.
Watson, this is Inspector Lestrade. Since the day before yesterday, he occupies the position of butler under the name of Judson in the home of Mr. and Mrs. Langley, the blackmailers of St. John's Wood.
I see. Quite interesting, as always, Holmes.
Well, Lestrade, any news?
Yes, sir. This morning, a little after 9, Langley and his wife drove away in a four-wheeler carriage. They returned about 11. Bassick was with him. You know him, sir?
Oh, yes. When I last had the occasion to meet Mr. Basig, he got 2 years for safe-cracking. Go on, Lestrade.
Well, they took this man, Basig, to the library. I got a look at him from the outside. And there he was opening up the safe where they'd been keeping the letters.
Go on.
In the end, when they got to the safe open, it was empty.
Quite interesting, but certainly not surprising to me.
The letters were gone. It seems like the Faulkner girl got them back somehow. That got them pretty excited. Basic went out and sent a telegram.
Have you got a copy of it?
Yes, sir. Here it is. It's in code.
Moriarty. I thought so. This case is taking a most promising turn. Lestrade, you'll return at once to the house in St. John's Wood. Within 10 minutes, I shall be there myself. If I remember correctly, the kitchen is immediately below the drawing room. Yes. When I knock over a chair in the drawing room, you'll overturn a lamp in the kitchen, scatter smoke balls, and give an alarm of fire. All other instructions remain unchanged.
Very good, sir.
Hurry, Lestrade.
Yes, Mr. Holmes.
Well, my dear Watson, it begins to look like a most interesting evening.
Now, will you give me those letters?
No, I won't. I won't. Mr. Langley, no. I will not.
Now, will you?
No.
Now, will you?
No.
Well, good evening. My name is Sherlock Holmes.
Whom do you wish to see, Mr. Holmes?
Oh, thank you so much. I had myself announced by the butler on my way up.
The butler? I didn't. Very well. Oh, here he is. Yes, Judson.
Miss Faulkner begs Mr. Holmes to excuse her. She is not well enough this evening to see anyone.
Will you please hand this card to Miss Faulkner and say that
I beg your pardon, Mr. Holmes. But it's quite useless, really.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear it, Mr. Sir.
Yes, Miss Faulkner is, I regret to say, she is unable to see anyone. Her health is so poor.
Has it ever occurred to you that she might be confined to the house too much?
How does that concern you?
It doesn't. I simply made the suggestion. Might like to think it over. What's your butler's name?
Judson, sir.
Very well, Judson. Go on. Take my card up.
Very good, sir.
Well, this is really too good to be true. Why, of course he can take up your card or your note or whatever it is, if you wish it so much. I was only trying to save you the trouble.
Thanks. It's hardly any trouble at all to send up a card.
Do you know, Mr. Holmes, you interest me very much.
Oh, really?
Upon my word, yes. We've all heard of your wonderful methods, the astonishing manner in which you gain information from the most trifling details. Now, I dare say, in this brief moment or two, you've discovered any number of things about me.
Nothing of consequence, my good sir, I assure you. In fact, I hardly more than asked myself why you were so distressed to see me at this particular moment. And what there can possibly be about the safe and the lower part of that desk to cause you such painful anxiety.
Very good. Very good indeed. If those things were only true now, I'd be wonderfully impressed. It would be absolutely remarkable.
Excuse me, sir.
Ah, Judson.
A message for you, sir.
You'll excuse me, I trust. It's from Mrs. Faulkner. Well, really. She begs to be allowed to see you, Mr. Holmes. She absolutely implores it. Well, I suppose I shall have to give away. Judson, ask Miss Falter to come down to the drawing room. Say that Mr. Holmes is waiting to see her.
Very good, sir.
Quite remarkable, upon my soul. May I ask, if it is not an impertinent question, what message you sent up that could have aroused Miss Faulkner's desire to come down?
Merely that if she wasn't down here in 5 minutes, I'd go up.
Oh, that was it.
Yes, quite so. And unless I am greatly mistaken, I hear the young lady on the stairs now. In which case, she has a minute and a half to spare.
Alice, that is Miss Faulkner, let me introduce Mr. Sherlock Holmes.
Mr. Holmes?
Miss Faulkner.
I'm really charmed to meet you, although it does look as if you had made me come down in spite of myself, doesn't it?
I thank you very much indeed for consenting to see me, Miss Faulkner, but regret to observe that you were put to the trouble of making such a very rapid change of dress.
Oh, yes, I did a trifle, I confess. Mr. Holmes is quite living up to his reputation, isn't he, Freddy? Come in.
Yes, ma'am.
What are you doing here, Judson?
I beg pardon, ma'am. I was answering the bell.
What bell?
The drawing room bell, sir.
What do you mean, you blockhead? No one rang the bell.
I'm quite sure it was rung, sir.
Well, I tell you, it did not ring.
Your butler is right. The bell did ring.
How do you know?
I rang it.
What do you want?
I want to send my card to the real Miss Faulkner.
The real?
I said the real Miss Faulkner. Judson?
Yes, sir?
Holmes, what right do you have to ring for servants and give orders in my house?
What right have you to prevent my carts from reaching their destination? And how does it happen that you and this woman are resorting to trickery and deceit to prevent me from seeing Alice Faulkner? Through some trifling oversight, Judson, neither of the cards I handed you have been delivered. Kindly see that this error does not occur again.
My orders, sir.
Oh, you have orders?
I can't say, sir.
You were told not to deliver my card.
What business is it of yours? I'd like to know.
I shall satisfy your curiosity on that point in a very short time, sir.
Yes, and you'll find out in a very short time that it isn't safe to meddle with me. It wouldn't be any trouble at all for me to throw you out on the street.
Possibly not, but trouble would surely follow such an experiment on your part.
It's a lucky thing for you I'm not armed.
Yes, well, when Miss Faulkner comes down, you go and arm yourself.
Arm myself? I'll call the police. What's more, I'll do it now.
Oh, no, you will not do it now. You will remain where you are until the lady I came here to see has entered this room.
What makes you so sure of that?
Because you will prefer to avoid an investigation of your suspicious conduct, Mr. James Langley.
Langley?
That is the name under which you are known to Scotland Yard, I believe. Mr. Langley, this lady here is your wife. As to you, Judson, you will either deliver that card to Miss Faulkner at once or sleep in the police station tonight. It's a small matter of consequence to me, which you do.
Shall I go, sir?
Go on. Take up the card. It makes no difference to me.
A short time since, Langley, you displayed an acute anxiety to leave the room. Pray do not let me detain you or your wife any longer. I take it you would prefer to remain while I talk to Miss Faulkner?
We do, Mr. Holmes.
Ah, at last, Miss Faulkner.
This is Mr. Holmes?
Yes.
You wish to see me?
Very much indeed, Miss Faulkner, but I am sorry to see that you are far from well.
Oh, no, I'm...
No? I beg your pardon, what does this mark mean?
Oh, nothing.
Nothing?
No.
And the mark here on your neck, plainly showing the clutch of a man's finger, does that mean nothing also? It occurs to me I should like to have an explanation of this. Possibly you can furnish one, Mr. Langley.
How should I know?
It seems to have occurred in your own house.
What if it did? You better understand that it isn't healthy for you or anyone else to interfere with my business.
Ah, so then it is your business. We are that much at least.
I don't know who you are, Mr. Holmes, or why you are here.
I shall be very glad indeed to explain. My business is this. I've been consulted as to the possibility of obtaining from you certain letters addressed to your sister, which are supposed to be in your possession.
I cannot give up my sister's letters, Mr. Holmes. There are other things besides revenge. There is punishment.
Believe me, Miss Faulkner, I...
There's nothing more to say. Good night, Mr. Holmes.
But my dear Miss Faulkner... Oh, I'm so sorry. How clumsy of me to turn over this chair.
Fire! Fire! Help! Help!
Oh, what's that? What's that? What's going on in your house here? Watson, where are you?
Sherlock, I'm here. Sitting here in the library. I've been reading some Jules Verne novels. You didn't seem to need me during the last 10 or 12 minutes.
No, that's rubbish, Watson. I always need your expert guidance.
So what can I do for the famous Sherlock Holmes? Try to find Inspector Lestrade? Or find the lady here at the house to get you another cup of Earl Grey tea.
Oh, some tea would be nice. But I will wait on that.
I'm afraid Mr. Langley is about to show how perturbed he is and how scared he actually is.
What is it? What's going on?
Fire, Mr. Langley. Fire.
Fire? Where?
The lamp, sir.
Lamp?
The lamp in the kitchen, sir. It fell off the table and everything down there is blazing, sir.
Blazing?
Quick, sir. Come down.
We're coming.
Calm yourself, Miss Faulkner. There is no fire.
No fire?
The smoke was all arranged for. Thank goodness for Watson. Always ready to jump into the fray when he's not reading Jules Verne.
Arranged for? What does he mean, Mr. Holmes?
It means this, Miss Faulkner. It means that I wanted a package of letters. Miss Faulkner, and that by following your eyes just now when you thought there was no fire, I discovered that you'd hidden them in the upholstery of this chair. Quite elementary, as you see. And now that they are in my possession, there seems to be no reason for me to remain any longer in this house. Good night, Miss Faulkner. Miss Faulkner?
Yes.
I can't take them, Miss Faulkner. These letters belong to you. I find that I cannot keep them unless you can possibly change your mind and let me have them of your own free will. I hardly supposed you could. I will therefore return them to you.
Watson here again. Ladies and gentlemen, this is where I must step up and provide all of you with some very important information about the most evil Professor James Moriarty.
Oh, must you do so, Watson? I already know all about this devious person.
Yes, Sherlock, I know you do, but not everyone listening to me at this very moment.
Ah, very well. But please be brief, if that's possible with you, my dear friend. Our time is fleeting here with our friends listening to you. Now, where did I put my pipe?
Oh, Sherlock, as I was about to say, James Moriarty's career has been an extraordinary one. He is a man of good birth and excellent education, endowed by nature with a phenomenal mathematical faculty. At the age of 21, he wrote a treatise upon the binomial theorem. On the strength of it, he won the mathematical chair at one of our smaller universities, and had, to all appearances, a most brilliant career before him. But the man had hereditary tendencies of the most diabolical kind.
Numbers?
82, 29, 71.
Correct. Moriarty speaking. Come in, Bassett. Your report coming from Manning?
The whole thing was a trap, set and baited by an expert.
And Manning?
Manning has disappeared.
Disappeared? Sherlock Holmes again! And now this Langley job. He's in on that too, and that's where he's made his mistake. Mr. Holmes is playing a rather dangerous game, Bassick. Inspector Wilson tried it 7 years ago. Wilson is dead. 2 years later, Henderson took it up. We haven't heard anything of Henderson lately, have we?
Not a thing, sir.
Yeah, you've seen to that. This Holmes is a rather talented man. He doesn't realize that isn't a street in London that'll be safe for him if I whisper his name to Cragen. I might even make him a little call myself. Just for the satisfaction of it. Yes, just for the satisfaction of it. Baker Street, isn't it? His place, Baker Street?
Yes, Baker Street, sir.
We could make it safe. We could make it absolutely safe for 3 streets in every direction.
Yes, sir, but...
We could. We've done it over and over again elsewhere. Police decoyed, men in every doorway. Do this tonight, in Baker Street, at 9 o'clock. Call his attendants out on some pretext or another and keep them out. You understand? I'll see this Sherlock Holmes myself. I'll give him a chance for his life. But Bassick?
Yes, sir?
Notify the team I may require the gas chamber at Stepney tomorrow night. And have Cragen there. At 10:15 with his crew.
Yes, sir.
It is a dangerous habit, Mr. Holmes, to put a finger on a loaded firearm in the pocket of one's dressing gown.
Oh, I give you my word, Professor Moriarty, you'll be taken from here to hospital if you keep your hand behind you like that. Ah, that's better. In that case, please put your revolver on the table.
Evidently, you don't know me.
I think it's quite evident that I do. Pray have a chair, Professor. I can spare you 5 minutes. That is, if you have anything to say. Careful. What were you about to do, Professor Moriarty?
Merely, I'm going to look at my timepiece, Holmes. Just my watch.
I'll tell you when your 5 minutes are up.
Is it your intention to pursue this case against me?
That is my intention, to the very end.
I regret this, not so much for my own account, but on yours.
Why, share your regret, Professor, but solely because of the rather uncomfortable position it will cause you to occupy.
May I inquire as to what position you are pleased to allude to, Mr. Holmes?
I refer to the position you will occupy at the end of a rope, Professor Moriarty.
And have you the faintest idea that you'd be permitted to live to see that day?
As to that, I do not particularly care, as long as I bring you to see it.
You'll never bring me to see it. Do you think that I would be here if I hadn't made the streets quite safe in every respect?
Oh, I could never so grossly overestimate your courage as that, Professor Moriarty.
Do you imagine that your friend the doctor and your young servant boy would soon return?
What?
So that leaves us quite alone, doesn't it? Yes, quite alone. So that we can talk the matter out quietly, Mr. Holmes, and not be disturbed. In the first place, I wish to call your attention to a few memoranda which I've jotted down and which you will find... here they are.
Look out! Don't do that. Get your hands down quickly. A little farther away from that memorandum book you're talking about.
I was merely about to take out a small notebook.
Well, merely don't do it. I don't want it. Got one of my own. If you want it, we'll have someone get it for you. I always like to save my guests unnecessary trouble.
I observe that your young man doesn't answer the bell.
No, but I have an idea that he will before long.
It may be possibly longer than you think, Mr. Holmes.
What? That young man?
Yes, that young man.
At least we'll try the bell once more, Professor.
Doesn't it occur to you that he may possibly have been detained, Mr. Holmes?
Oh, it does, Professor. But it also occurs to me that you're very much in the same predicament, Professor Moriarty.
I beg your pardon, sir. Someone tried to hold me, sir.
It's quite evident, however, that he failed to do so.
Yes, sir. He's got my coat, sir, but he ain't got me.
Billy.
Yes, sir.
Billy, the gentleman I'm carefully pointing out to you with this handgun desires to have us get something out of his left-hand inside coat pocket, as he's not feeling quite himself today, and the consequences of his trying to do it himself might prove fatal. I suggest you attend to it for him.
Yes, sir. Is this it, sir? The gun?
Quite so, quite so. Put it on the table. No, not there, Billy. On this table, where I can reach it. That's more like it. That's all, Billy.
Shall I see if he's got another, sir?
Why, Billy, you surprise me after the gentleman has taken the trouble to inform us that he hasn't.
When, sir?
When he made a snatch for this one. And now, Professor, now that we have your little memorandum book, do you think of anything else you'd like before Billy goes? Any little thing you've got that you don't want? I guess not. So sorry. That's all, Billy.
Thank you, sir.
Listen to me, Holmes. On the 4th of January, you crossed my path. On the 23rd, you inconvenienced me. And now, at the close of April, I found myself placed in such a position, through your continual interference, that I am in a positive danger of losing my liberty.
Have you any suggestions to make?
No, I have no suggestions to make. I have a fact to state. If you don't drop it at once, your life's not worth that.
I'm afraid, Professor, that in the pleasure of this conversation, I'm neglecting more important business. I will If you will excuse me for a moment while I get my favorite meerschaum pipe off the mantelpiece here.
I came here this evening, Mr. Holmes, to see if peace could be arranged between us.
Quite so.
You've seen fit not only to reject my proposals, but to make insulting references coupled with threats of arrest. You've been warned of your danger. If you don't heed that warning, perhaps you will heed this. I don't understand.
Didn't imagine I'd leave that gun loaded, did you, Professor Moriarty? Here are your cartridges. I didn't suppose you'd want to use that gun again, so I took them out while you were talking. Put them in my pocket. You'll find them all here, Professor. Billy?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Will you please show Professor Moriarty to the door?
Yes, sir. This way, sir.
Unhand me. Don't ever say I didn't warn you, Mr. Holmes. Reichenbach. Yes, that's where.
No, Professor Moriarty. No, I never will. And never there. Billy, come here.
Yes, sir.
Billy, you're a good young man. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
It was exactly 9 o'clock when Sherlock Holmes left the house in Baker Street. He had given the strictest instructions that no one was to follow him. If there had been no word from him by noon of the following day, we must notify Scotland Yard. I went to the window and looked after him as he went down Baker Street. A tall, thin figure in a grey wool herringbone ulster coat, walking with long, very long, but smooth steps in the direction of Langham Place. There he entered a cab.
What are you doing lighting matches there?
That's what I'm doing.
Stop it now!
Why should I stop it?
There might be gas, you fool.
There ain't no gas. It's been 4 days since we had gas in the room.
Yeah, I still say there might be gas.
Well, did you check it?
I will. Here goes. Ready?
Give her a turn. That'll do. Turn her off.
5 minutes of that, all your troubles are ended. Here, what's that?
Basic?
That's right, Cragen. That you, Leary?
Yes, sir!
Montague?
Here, sir.
Be careful now, you boys. You've got a tough one tonight.
You ain't said who, as I've heard.
Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, you mean that, sir?
God's truth.
We're going to count him out?
Well, if you don't and he gets away, I'm sorry for you, that's all. The governor's here.
Not the governor himself. Professor Moriarty.
Shut up.
Where is Cragen?
Here, sir.
Got your full crew?
All here, sir.
No mistakes tonight, Cragen.
I'll be careful of that, sir.
This is Langley.
Hello.
He's in on this job.
Hello, Langley.
What's that door, Basic?
A small cupboard, sir.
No easy way out?
None whatsoever, sir.
And that window?
Nailed down, sir.
A man might break the glass.
If he did, he'd come up against some heavy iron bars outside.
We'll have him tied down before he can break any glass, sir.
Oh, so you've used it before. Oh, of course. You know it is airtight.
Every crevice is sealed, sir.
When the men have turned the gas on him, they leave by this door?
Yes, sir.
It can be made quite secure.
Heavy bolts on the outside, sir. Solid oak bars all over.
Let me see how quick you can operate them.
They tie a man down, sir. There's no need to hurry.
Let me see how quick you can operate them.
Leary?
Yes, sir!
Ah, good. Open it up. Now, Cragen, and the rest of you, one thing to remember, whatever happens, no shooting tonight. Not a single shot. It can be heard from the alley below. The first thing is to get his revolver away before he has a chance to use it. Two of you attract his attention from the front, and the other come up from behind and snatch it out of his pocket. Then you have him. Arrange that, Cragen.
I will attend to it, sir.
Mr. Langley, do you understand? They wait for you.
I understand, sir.
I give you this opportunity to sell him the packet of letters you have forged and get what you can for your trouble. A few £100 doesn't interest me, Mr. Langley. I am after Sherlock Holmes.
I understand, sir.
When you've finished and got your money, you whistle. And these gentlemen come in. Let's hear it. You hear that, Cragen? And Cragen, at the proper moment, present my compliments to Mr. Sherlock Holmes and say that I wished him a pleasant journey to the other side. Come on, Basic. Good night, gentlemen. Good night, Langley.
Good night, sir. All right, boys, clear. When you hear the whistle, in you come.
Roger you are, sir.
Good evening, Mr. Holmes.
Ah, Mr. Langley. Now, really, I certainly thought after all this driving about in a closed cab, you'd show me something new.
Seen it before, have you, Mr. Holmes?
Well, a time or two, now that I come to think of it, I nabbed a friend of yours in this place while he was trying to drop himself out of that window. Ned Colvin, the cracksman.
Colvin? Colvin? Never heard of him before.
Well, you never certainly heard of him after, I'm sure of that. A brace of counterfeiters used these luxurious chambers in the spring of 89. One of them hidden that cupboard. We pulled him out by the heels.
Quite interesting, but times have changed since then.
Oh, so they have, Mr. Langley, so they have. Then it was only cracksmen, counterfeiters, pickpockets, and petty swindlers of various kinds. Ah, but now...
Well, what now?
Well, between you and me, Mr. Langley, we've heard some not altogether agreeable rumors. Rumors of some pretty shady work not far from here. A murder or two of a very peculiar kind. I have always had my suspicion. Oh, well, that's it. My surmise was correct. It is.
It is what?
This room is sealed tight.
What does that signify to us?
Nothing to us, Mr. Langley, nothing to us. But it might signify a good deal to some poor devil who's been caught and gassed in this trap.
Well, if it's nothing to us, suppose we leave it alone and get to business. My time is limited.
Of course, I should have realized that these reflections could not possibly appeal to you.
Now, here's a little packet of letters which the object of this meeting. I haven't opened it yet. As Miss Faulkner tells me, everything is there.
Suppose, Mr. Langley, that as Miss Faulkner knows nothing about this affair, we omit her name from the discussion?
What do you mean? Who told you she doesn't know?
You did. Every look, tone, gesture, everything you've said and done since I've been in this room has informed me that Miss Faulkner has never consented to this transaction. It is a little speculation of your own.
Oh! I suppose you think you can read me like a book.
Oh, no. Like a primer.
Well, let it pass. How much will you give?
£1,000.
I couldn't take it.
What do you ask?
£5,000.
Well, I couldn't give it.
Why? I've been offered $4,000 for this little packet.
Why didn't you take it?
Because I intend to get more. Here, you give me that money. Come on, quick! Hand it over!
Now I've got you where I want you, James Langley. Hey, you've been so cunning and so cautious and so wise, we couldn't find a thing to hold you for. But this little slip will get you in for robbery.
Oh, you'll have me in, will you? What are your views about being able to get away from here yourself?
Oh, I do not anticipate any particular difficulty.
Ah, robbery, eh? Why, even if you got away from here, you haven't got a witness. You haven't got a witness to your name.
I'm not so sure of that, Mr. Langley, not so sure of that. Do you usually fasten this cupboard door with a knife?
Come away from that door!
Miss Faulkner!
Oh.
Stand back, you contemptible scoundrel! What does this mean?
I'll show you what it means, curse it quick!
I'm afraid you're badly hurt, Miss Faulkner.
Mr. Holmes, look behind you!
Get him!
I'll have to ask you gentlemen to wait just one moment, please.
Hey, what's the idea of sitting down and writing?
What are you writing? Writing your will, I suppose?
No. Only a brief description of one or two of you gentlemen for the police. I'm ready now.
Wait a bit. You better listen to me, Mr. Holmes. We're going to tie you down nice and tight to the top of that table.
Well, you surprise me, gentlemen, thinking you're so sure of anybody in this room and three bars gone out of that window.
Bars or no bars, you're going to get out of here as easy as you can expect.
Oh, there are so many ways, Mr. Langley, that I hardly know which one to choose.
Well, you'd better choose quick, I can tell you that.
I'll choose at once, Mr. Cragen, and my choice falls on this chair.
My God, the lights!
Stop!
He's getting away in the dark!
Look out!
Cragen, look at his cigar!
Trace him by the cigar!
Watch his cigar!
Look out! He's going for the window!
There! He's up on the ledge! He's climbed up! Look at his cigar!
Get him! Quick! After him!
There he goes! He's up by the window!
No, gentlemen, no, not by the window. I'm leaving by the door. Oh, by the way, I left my cigar for you on the windowsill. Good evening, gentlemen. Come along, Miss Faulkner.
There was no news of Holmes that night, and Billy reported next morning that he did not have breakfast at home. I had a busy morning at my office in Harley Street. It was after 11 before the last of my appointments was over, and still no news of Holmes. When?
Did you ring, Dr. Watson?
Oh, Parsons, is there anyone waiting? I have to be in Baker Street at noon.
There's one person in the waiting room, Doctor. A lady, sir. And she wants to see you most particular.
Oh? What about?
She didn't say, sir. Only she said it was of the utmost importance to her if you'd see her, sir.
Very well, I'll see her. And hail a cab for me at the same time and have it wait. Show the lady in.
Yes, sir. This way, mum. This way.
Doctor, it's awfully good to see you. I'm Mrs. Seaton. Dear me, I didn't bring my card case, or if I did, I lost it.
Don't trouble about a card, Mrs. Seaton.
They said you were Mr. Holmes' friend. Several people told me that they advised me to ask you where I could find him today, this morning, and everything depends on it, Doctor. Everything.
Well, I'd go to Mr. Holmes at once.
I've been, and he wasn't there.
You went to Mr. Holmes's house?
Yes, in Baker Street. That's where I came to you. They said he might be here.
No, he isn't here.
But don't you expect him in this morning?
No, there's no possibility of Mr. Holmes coming as far as I know.
But couldn't you get him to come? It would be such a great favor to me. I'm almost worn out with going about and with this dreadful anxiety. If I could get it word to Mr. Holmes to come.
I could not get him to come, madam. And I beg you to excuse me. I'm going out myself on urgent business. I have no idea where Mr. Holmes could be.
Look out! Look out!
What's that, Parsons?
It sounded like an accident, sir.
Probably nothing more than a broken-down hansom. See what it is, Parsons.
If that's the bell, sir, somebody's hurt, sir, and they're wanting you.
Well, don't allow anybody to come in. I have no more time.
Very well, sir.
But they're coming in, Doctor.
All right. Help him in, Parsons. Help him in.
Oh, Doctor, isn't it frightful? Can I be of some use?
None whatever, madam.
I am Dr. Watson. I can handle this.
But, Doctor, I must see the poor fellow.
Oh, my leg, my leg.
Just relax, sir. I am here for you.
I won't stand in this place if I ever get out of here alive. What are you staring at me for, lady?
Parsons, tell that cab to wait for me. I must see if he's badly hurt.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you'll just sit quiet for one moment, I'll have a look at you. Well, stay still, will you? Well, how can I possibly...
Remarkable weather we're having, eh, Doctor?
What on earth?
Oh, about helping me remove some of this ridiculous disguise, Watson.
Holmes, is that you?
Oh, quite so, my dear fellow, quite so.
Holmes?
Watson, don't let it get out that window. Look out, the blind.
Well, what do you want me to do?
Well, nothing. I've already been doing it by Miss Langley here.
Look out, Holmes. She can get out that way.
I don't think so, Watson. Lestrade.
I've got her, sir.
Good work, Lestrade. Now arrest this lady at once.
Yes, sir.
Very good, Lestrade. Wait for me outside.
Yes, sir.
Watson, my dear fellow, I regret to say that up to the present time, Professor Moriarty himself has not risen to the bait.
Where do you think he is?
In the open street, under some clever disguise, watching for a chance to get at me.
And, was this woman sent in here to...
Yes, quite so. A spy to let them know by some signal if she found me in the house. Now they know. Pull down that blind, Watson. I don't care to be shot at from the street. I imagine we shall hear from Professor Moriarty very soon now.
Mr. Holmes! Mr. Holmes!
What did I tell you?
He's come, sir.
From where?
The house across the street. He was in there watching these windows. He must have seen something, for he's just come out. There was a cab waiting for him in his house, sir. And he's climbed up and changed places with the driver.
Get out again quick, Billy, and keep your eye on him.
Yes, sir. Yes. Thank you, sir.
Watson, can you let me have a rather heavy portmanteau for a few moments? Won't do it any harm.
Parsons, my large suitcase over there in the corner. Bring it here, please.
Yes, sir. Here you are, sir. Here's the suitcase.
Thank you, Parsons. Be so good as to tell the driver to come in here and get a small overnight traveling case. When he comes, tell him that's the one over there.
Very good, sir.
My dear Watson, in times like these, you should tell your man never to take the first cab that comes on call, nor yet the second. The third may be safe.
But, Holmes, I always...
All right, I'm coming.
Yes, yes, cabbie. Come in, this way.
Ah, this bag I want taken down to the street.
Right you are, Governor. Right you are.
Oh, all right. Goodbye, Watson. Goodbye, Watson, old fellow. Wait a minute, driver. It's pretty heavy, I'm afraid. Let me help you. Watson, I'll write to you from Budapest.
Yes, but Holmes...
Here, driver, just let me tighten up these straps a bit. There we are. That's right. I'll hold it, driver. You pull the strap. A few little things in this bag that I wouldn't like to lose.
Right you are, sir.
And it's just as well to make quite sure. Is it not Professor Moriarty by means of a simple pair of handcuffs?
Blast you, Holmes! Do you imagine, Sherlock Holmes, that this is the end?
I venture to dream that it might be.
Are you quite sure the police will be able to hold me?
Professor Moriarty, I'm quite sure of nothing. Take him away, Lestrade.
Perhaps Holmes should never embark upon a journey to Reichenbach Falls.
And so, my dear Watson, ends this strange case.
Well, what about the letters?
Well, the letters. They were returned to their rightful owner over an hour ago. I suspected from the start that Miss Faulkner was really a nice girl at heart. Oh, dear.
What is it, Holmes?
I was just reflecting, my dear Watson. With Moriarty out of the way, at least for now, London, from the point of view of the criminal expert, is likely to become a singularly uninteresting city, once morning paper a veritable wilderness of boredom.
Mr. Holmes! Mr. Holmes!
Yes, Billy?
It's a lady, sir. Been waiting for an hour. She says she's got to see you, sir. Case of murder, she says. Got her face all veiled.
From which I deduce that she is a lady of over 41 and less than 45. of a strange dark beauty and considerable social eminence, and that she has lived for some years in the Near East, and that she is now wearing a large blood ruby on the second finger of her left hand.
Holmes, how do you know these things? It's amazing!
The child's play of deduction. Elementary, my dear Watson. Elementary.
This has been the WGTD Radio Theater's live broadcast of Sherlock and Watson. Is it elementary or Moriarty? Written by Steve Brown and Michael Ulstrup. Our director was Brett Hodek. And starring members of the award-winning 91.1 Players. Our stars today were Siegfried Christoff as Sherlock Holmes, Brett Hodek as Dr. Watson and Cragen, Todd Eaves as Professor Moriarty, Larry Rowe as Inspector Lestrade, Cameron Spencer as James Langley, Victoria Schmidtke as Madge, Natalie Lavoie as Bassick, Leary, Montague, and Parsons. And I'm Jill Jensen, who portrayed Billy Holmes, Alice Faulkner, and also as your show's announcer. Our recorded music and sound effects designer was Steve Brown. Our audio director was Chuck Janzer, and David Janzer is WGTD's radio engineer. As always, support for the WGTD Radio Theater is provided by the Kenosha Law Firm of Aaliyah, Dumay, and McTernan, the Brown Ulstrup Performing Arts Foundation, and Salem United Methodist Church, located in Salem, Wisconsin. For the WGTD Radio Theater and the 91.1 Players, I'm Jill Jensen. Thank you so much for listening to Sherlock and Watson. Is it elementary or Moriarty? You are listening to WGTD HD, serving Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.